Find the outline that's in your bulletin to be able to follow along. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, we're going to be looking at some things in that particular passage as Jesus declared what he came to be and do. So if you'll look at that, today we do celebrate freedom of America, but also we celebrate freedom that's in Christ, because the basis of all freedom is Christ. That relationship out of which comes all the other. I'm convinced that this country has come where it has come because those who began this country had a concept and a faith in God. Not all of them may be evangelical leaders, but they believed in God. Many of them did. And we'll talk more about that as I go. So out of that comes the basis for real freedom, which causes the people then to want to be free in every way. So we want to say, God, help us to learn to live in freedom. To learn to live in freedom. So if you find Luke chapter 4, Jesus is recorded here what he did. I'm going to start in verse 16. Jesus comes to the synagogue. And here's what the scripture says about that. Luke chapter 4, starting verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recover sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was given the book of Isaiah. Now you recognize when he was given the book of Isaiah, it wasn't this kind of book. It was a scroll. I want you to notice something about Jesus, about that. Jesus was very familiar with Scripture. How in the world can you take a scroll and know exactly where to find it unless you've been doing it? Jesus knew where to find this passage in Isaiah in a scroll. He didn't flip pages. He had to unroll to the right place. Also, I want you to notice this passage of Scripture that said, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath as was what? His custom. Jesus met for worship when his time here on earth. The Bible says he was there. So that was a part of that. But I want to think particularly about Christ's freedom. As Jesus talked about some things he came to do, quote from Isaiah. And he said, "I came to do those things." The Bible talked about it, but in verse 21, he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears." What he's saying is what Isaiah talked about is now available in Christ to those who believe in Christ. And in him, we find the real freedom and the joy of life. So let's think about some of those aspects that Jesus talked about in this passage of Scripture when he said, "Today, this Scripture, and today we celebrate that's already been fulfilled, it's true for us as well. We can celebrate that today." So if you're filling on your notes on your outline, the first thing is look to Jesus for the gospel of freedom. Look to Jesus for the gospel of freedom. He said that he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. When you talk about preaching gospel to the poor, does that mean that only people who don't have much money have the gospel? No. The poor are the poor in spirit. The poor are those who know they don't have God and they don't have Jesus and they need some help. So when he talked about the gospel to the poor, he was talking about preaching that gospel to those who need it. And I pray that all of us will be aware that we all need the gospel. We all need Jesus. So if you think about that, it's a gospel of freedom. What is the gospel? Well, let me look at some things on your notes and scripture passages and think about it for a little bit. The first scripture passage says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. He talked about this good news of Jesus, and he was grateful to be able to write to the Romans and talk to them. He said, this gospel is this being proclaimed to the whole world. But he said, the gospel of his Son. What is the gospel? It's good news about Jesus. I'm afraid that sometimes we, because it's simple, we fail to realize the significance of the gospel. The gospel is very, as I understand it, is God saw that human beings needed to be saved. God saw that we as human beings had disobeyed him, had sinned against him, and were out of fellowship with him and could not come back to be in a right relationship with God without some sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they offered animal sacrifices, a lot of them. But when we come to Jesus, and God said, the gospel is, I want people to know me, and in order for them to know me, God said, I'm going to have to do something about their disobedience and their sin, how to bring them to me. And the good news is, God saw that we could not change anything. I don't care how hard we try, we cannot make ourselves righteous. We can do better, but we can't be righteous. So the good news, the gospel to me is, God saw all that need from the beginning, and he arranged the plan ahead of time that his Son, Jesus Christ, would come and live here in this world for a period of time. He'd be born of a virgin. He'd be born, and God would use him as his Son. He would come and be here. So the gospel is, God loved us enough to give his Son. And the angels celebrated, and we ought to celebrate too. Then we celebrate that while he was here on earth, he spent those last few years of his life teaching and training disciples, showing how to live, what God wanted, how God acted to teach the Father. So we see the gospel that Jesus was born. He lived here, and we have his example. Aren't you glad you've got the example of Jesus in the Bible? Aren't you glad you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about to tell us about the life of Jesus? Because it helps us know about the Father. So he came, he lived here. Ultimately, he went to a cross for us and for every human being. So the gospel is, he loved us enough to die on the cross to take care of all our sin, because there's no other way we could ever be right with God. No other way. And then he was buried in a grave. But praise God, 3 days later, he was raised. And they went and looked and said, you're looking in the wrong place. He's not here anymore. He's alive. And they saw him. 500 saw him at once. Other people saw him at once. At least 10, 11 times people saw him alive. And then he walked them out on the hill, and he was talking to them about receiving the, waiting for the power of the Spirit to come upon him. All of a sudden he just takes off. And they stand there with their mouth wide open. I've often said, and you heard me say it, that's probably the first astronauts. And he goes, but one more thing is going to happen. The good news is, he not only came, born as a baby of a virgin, lived here, died on a cross, raised again, ascended to heaven. But folks, he's going to split the sky one more time. And he's going to bring the final culmination of everything in his kingdom and rule. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Now, out of that, we learn to live godly, we try to do what the Bible says. He helps us do that. But we look to, that's the gospel of freedom. Because in him, there's freedom. And I'll talk more about the aspect of that. The other scripture passage, the second one on your notes, says, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son, if Jesus makes you free. This good news, this one who lived and died and rose again and coming back, when he comes to be a part of our life, he liberates us from our sin and our wrong. Not only does he liberate us from our past, praise God he does. Aren't you glad when you come to Jesus? Because he died on the cross, and through what he did, we ask him to forgive us and save us, and he wipes out our sin and makes us his child. But not only does he liberate us from the past, he liberates us so we can live godly in this world today. Because you know as well as I do that we can't live godly in this world by ourselves. Our human nature and our fleshly nature pulls us down. The devil tempts us. We need the power of the living Christ, the freedom in Him to live godly. So I'm free to obey Jesus because He has set me free in His Spirit and His power, and I can live free to obey. The freedom is not only freedom from sin, but it's freedom to obey. It's freedom to do what He asks us to do by His power and by His grace. And so I'm grateful for this gospel of freedom. This Jesus said, I came to preach the gospel to you who are poor. The last passage on that section says, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. First part of that verse says, we were freed from what? Enslaved to God. Now, is it good to be enslaved to God? That's a voluntary thing, okay? He didn't make it. We choose to do that. So that we are sanctified. We're set apart. We have eternal life. Do you have eternal life? Do you know you belong to Jesus and when you die, you're going to heaven? If you don't, God wants you to know that in Jesus. That's freedom. Because you see, when you're no longer worrying about dying, you can live. Because you already died anyway in Jesus and gave it up, so it belongs to Him. And so He said, now we have eternal life because of Jesus, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. He is eternal life with God. Everybody's going to live forever, but some of us are going to live eternal life in heaven with God, and that's what I want to do. So we talk about that freedom, the gospel of the freedom. I want you to watch this video about freedom that we're going to share, so if you'd watch that.
If you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But they answered, we are the descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. So how can you say we will become free? You see, they answered Jesus in the same way we might. I mean, we're Americans, right? We live in the land of the free. We sing songs about it. We get together and have parties and fireworks, all to celebrate our nation's freedom. But Jesus was speaking of a different kind of freedom, a freedom that can only be found in Him. He answered them, this is the truth. Everyone who chooses a life of sin isn't free. They are a slave to sin. A slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son or a daughter, they belong forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Amen. Are you free? Amen. Free indeed. Second thing on your outline is look to Jesus for deliverance from captivity. He talked about release to the captives. And some of that captivity may come because things have happened to us that hurt us. Some translations add a phrase here, which this one doesn't. He came to heal the brokenhearted. I like that part too. But when you get brokenhearted and you get hurt, does sometimes that become a bondage to you? That hurt begins to sort of dominate your life? And you become a captive to that. You relive it. You go back over those events. You remember what somebody said. You remember the pain. And it sort of becomes in you a bondage. But Jesus can help you heal that hurt. I think Jesus knows how to heal brokenhearted people and deliver us from that captivity. But also I believe that people are captive today because we have believed the wrong things. Some people believe today that God's dead and they're captive to their sin. Some people today are captive to drugs and alcohol or sexual addiction. They're captives. Some people are captive to governments and to philosophies. They don't realize it, but they are. They're captives. Jesus is the one who can deliver us from captivity. scripture passage in your notes says, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer be slaves to sin, for he who died is freed from sin." The good news is, whatever is binding you, whatever is hindering me, whatever is grasping my life and pulling me down, Jesus can set you free from it. You can bring it to him and ask him to deliver you from that. I don't care what it is. Is there anything Jesus can't deliver you from? He can deliver you from anything. If he can't, he's not God. So whatever you're dealing with, whatever problems, whatever issues, whatever things that are hindering your walk with Christ, and you're bound up in them, you need to bring that to Jesus and say, "Jesus, you said you deliver the captives, and I've been captive to this issue or this or whatever it is. Would you deliver me? Would you forgive me? Would you take this out of my life?" Sometimes we ask him, it doesn't seem to work, so we need to keep on asking him until it happens. But we need to believe that he will do that. The devil wants you to think you're under bondage and you can't get out. He wants to think whatever habit or lifestyle you've got that isn't pleasing to God, you're stuck. Well, I'll tell you, when Jesus comes to your life, he can liberate you from that captivity. He can change your heart, change your mind, change your thoughts. He can change it all. And he will if you ask him to. He's promised to do that. And so I'm grateful today to say Jesus still delivers people from captivity. Not only that, but of course people are in physical bondage around the world. There are still people in captivity who don't, but he still liberates them. Do you realize freedom is really inside, first of all? Can you be free, running around, and still be bound inside? That's worse freedom than being physically bound, but spiritually free. But he can liberate us. So we bring it to him, and the broken heart, the needs, and we say, "Jesus, deliver me from that captivity." Whatever it is, I urge you, if you're dealing with anything, keep praying to Jesus and asking him to set you free until it's free. And I think we need to believe it when we ask him to. So the devil says, "No, you'll never be." No, God can set you free. I don't care what it is. Now, again, what helps set you free is beginning to put the word in your mind and heart instead of whatever's bugging you. And still take the truths of God and put them in your thought, in your thinking. And he'll set you free. But I'm grateful that the Jesus that talks about in this passage in Luke 4 still delivers captivity, people from captivity, makes them free. On the other side of your notes, look to Jesus for freedom from blind eyes. Notice he said, he came to recover sight to the blind. Now he's not talking about these eyes, although he healed physical eyes. And he still does. People that I've heard of who God physically gets healed, I'm grateful for that. But I think he's talking about eyes that don't see. Eyes that have been hindered. Eyes that have been blinded. In fact, I didn't put it on your notes, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about the God of this world has blinded the minds of people so they don't believe. They don't see. When you talk about Jesus to people who don't know him, do you ever feel like they just don't get it? They don't see what you're talking about? They don't understand what you're trying to explain to them. We ask Jesus to come and to open their eyes. Not only physical eyes, but the spiritual eyes of their heart. Help them understand the truth you're talking about. Help them to know that there's more. Help them to see it. But do you ever need to ask God to help you see things in the Scriptures? Do you ever have a place in your life where you have a blind spot to the truth or to a scripture passage? And you say, "God, wait a minute. I open my eyes to see this. Help me understand this. Help me apply it to me." Because we as human beings still have those spots. So we need Jesus to come and open our eyes to show us the truth. And it's wonderful when you're reading the scriptures and God shows you something. You see, and you see it. Isn't that wonderful? All of a sudden, God opens your eyes to a truth and understanding and you get it. Saying, "Go, thank you, Lord, for showing those truths to me. Open my eyes to understand that." Sometimes he uses other people. But he said Jesus came to open the eyes that are blind so they can see. The scripture I listed on your notes says, as Paul is talking about his encounter with the Lord, on the road to Damascus. He said, I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for this purpose I've appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I'm sending you to open their eyes, that so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Now, God said to Paul, this is what I want you to do. You're going to go help people. And I'm going to ask you to be a witness of who I am and to share what you've seen, that open the eyes that they can turn from darkness to light, so they can see there's something better, something more. You realize sometimes people don't realize there's a whole lot more. There's something better than what I've got. His name is Jesus. There's something better, and His name is Christ. I walk with Him. But not only that, He said, I'm going to show you, let you open the eyes of the blind so that they can turn from darkness to light, to see the truth, be exposed to the truth. But notice what else He said. Deliver you from what? The dominion of Satan to God. Is that still true? Are there people today who are still under the bondage of the devil? They're lying. They don't realize that, but they're under the dominion of the devil. So the good news of Jesus is, this gospel we preached about, Jesus talked about, can say to you, Jesus can deliver you. He can show you a new way. He can open your mind and your heart. He can open your eyes to see the truth and to pray that God would do that. And so I'm grateful that Jesus said, I want to proclaim, recover sight to the blind, we can see. Now, that means I need to be sharing the truth with everybody that I can. Because a part of revealing the truth or opening our eyes is putting the Word of God in front of people. It's not the Scriptures what reveals truth. It's not God's Word what He uses to open our eyes to understand that. And I need to share Him, Jesus, with as many people as I can and help them to see who He is and pray that their mind and heart will be open so they can see that He really is who He says He is. So they can see they really need Him. Because I think a lot of times people don't feel like they need Him. And they don't realize they're lost. And it's been on my mind lately, hit me again fresh recently. You know what? Everybody who believes in Jesus and knows Christ is going to go to heaven. But everybody who doesn't know Jesus, if they die, is going to hell. There's no in between. Every person needs to know the hope that's in Christ, so they can have Him now and go to heaven later. I forget that sometimes. I just think, oh, well, they don't want to hear or they want to listen. Listen, that person who doesn't know Jesus is living without Jesus, and that means they're living an empty life that's not going to amount to anything, because if you live without Jesus, you don't have anything left. When you die, it's over. It's zip. And they need to know Jesus so they can live a quality life now, as well as when they leave here, they go to be with God forever. We have some serious business here about that. So pray that God, as we share the Word, open the eyes of the blind who don't realize what you realize and what I realize about life, and to share Jesus. So Lord, help us. Open our eyes and share the good news, and pray that somehow God open the eyes of the blind. Isn't it wonderful when somebody opens their eyes and sees it and begins to believe? Sometimes that takes a process. It doesn't always happen all at once. I'd like to think I talked to them about Jesus one time, they get it, and that's it. Somewhere I read it takes seven touches for a person ever comes to Jesus. That is seven times somebody shares with them. And you may not be the seventh one, you may be the first or second one. But in the process, you're planting seed that God can use to open the eyes of somebody. God will use to show them the truth about Jesus. So Jesus said, I believe He still opens the eyes of mine, don't you? So let's plant the seed. Let's watch Him do that. The next area is look to Jesus for freedom from oppression. Freedom from oppression. Some translations use the word the bruised in verse 18. Set free those who are bruised or oppressed. Is anybody oppressed today? Are people put down? Sometimes there are in other countries and even in this country. But also, there's a sense of oppression Because we have a weight upon us, a sin upon us, a burden upon us, things in our mind and heart that weigh heavy on us, and we feel oppressed. The Scripture says, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit, with power, and how he went about doing good and helping all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus helped those who were oppressed by the devil. Is there such a thing as that? In our country, is there anybody depressed? It's true. There's a lot of depression in this country. Why? They're under the oppression of an enemy who wants to put them down and destroy their life. You realize, and we have to realize, the enemy is to hear to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't care what the devil offers you, how much excitement he may get offer people, how much pleasure he may offer people. When he gets through with you, it isn't going to be fun. When he gets through with people, it's always an end in death, in this life and eternity. People are oppressed, and they need to know that Jesus Christ can liberate you from that oppression. When Jesus comes in, does he change anything inside you? When you let Jesus come and live in your heart, do you see life in a new perspective? Do you have a new hope, a new reason for living, a new purpose, a new joy, a new value? Because Jesus has come in and lifted that impression. He's made you in your own personal life, in our personal walk with Jesus. And I'm grateful for that liberation from oppression. So, if you're writing on your notes, that's the first point under that. Look to Jesus for freedom from oppression personally, that is, in our own life, those who are bruised and beat up. But second, we look to Jesus for freedom from oppression as a nation. We as a nation, I'm convinced, are free because people believed in God. I don't care what our culture says and what a lot of people say to us, they don't want us to believe that there was anything to do with Jesus or Christianity in this country. Many of the history, I think, books are no longer talking about the freedom fighters and early people and the faith in God that some of those people had. They weren't all evangelicals. I'm sure that I probably disagreed with them, but they believed in God. And that was important. So, I want to look at some of the statements that were made by some of the early founders. So, we're going to put those up. And I want you to look at these for a minute. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Patrick Henry said. Okay, next one. The highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. John Quincy Adams. Okay. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is a duty as well as a privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. John Jay was first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. We have one more, I think. Do not let anyone claim the tribute of American patriotism if they ever attempt to remove religion from politics. George Washington, the farewell speech. Were they all flaming evangelicals? Probably not. But they had a confidence in God. And I'm convinced as long as we do that, keep our focus on that, we'll be better as a nation. The Scripture is on the front of your bulletin. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And our desire is to maintain that freedom. I'm grateful for those who fought for our freedom. But many of those who fought, I fought because they had been free in Jesus themselves. I really believe that. And we are blessed to live in this country where we're free to do what we do. I pray that we'll stand true to Jesus, though. I believe, personally, and this is a negative, I guess, but our freedom, our Christian freedoms are being eroded in this country. We need to keep standing up, keep speaking up, keep talking about it, no matter what, because we still need the freedom in Jesus. But I'm grateful to live in this country. Thank you, Lord, for letting me live here. I was born here. I'm grateful for it. Some of you have heard this before, but let me read this. A French writer named Alexis de Tocqueville visited America in 1831. That's a long time ago. Here's what he wrote. I sought for greatness of the United States and her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, but it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. We need to maintain. I'm not saying we want to mix it, but I'm just saying as a Christian. So, thank you, God, for the freedom from oppression. I'm glad we can deal where we live. And we have the freedom. We want to maintain them. And I believe we need to encourage people to do that. The last thing on your notes, look to Jesus for freedom while it is available. Jesus said he came to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Look to Jesus for freedom while it is available. What do I mean by that? If you die without Jesus, it's too late. There are people who tell you that you get a second chance after death. The Bible didn't tell you that. I think there are scriptures that talk about the fact that our hearts can become hardened and we don't hear God anymore. Here's my thinking on that. God speaks, and you know God's talking to your heart. And you sort of say, well, okay, I'll get around to it. And you go on. God speaks. There's that urging in your spirit. You need to respond to God, and you sort of ignore it. And later, it comes again, but it's not quite as strong as it was before. And then later, you don't even hear it anymore. We ought to think of as what you've heard about. A few people who move and live by an airport, when you first move in here, every airplane, it goes over. After a while, you don't pay attention to them because you've ignored. What I'm suggesting is when God's Spirit speaks, we need to listen. Not that God may not be speaking, but we're not hearing anymore. Our ears, our spirits have become callous to the Spirit of God. So when Jesus said, I came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to me he's saying, you need to respond to Jesus while he is talking. I've talked to individuals who in their life knew God wanted them to do things and they didn't do it. And later they regretted for the rest of their life they didn't obey what they understood God called them to do. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. The scripture passage in your notes says, that working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, at the accepted time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus, now is the time to start. He's given you one more chance to receive him and to begin life with him. I don't know whether he'll give you another one or not. That's his job, not mine. And I'm grateful. But I'm saying to you today, if you don't know Jesus, take the chance today, the opportunity today, to yield your heart and life to him. It's an acceptable time. If he's talking to you, that's the time to listen. But not only to be saved, but as a Christian, are the things in your life you know God's been calling you to do and you've been putting them off. Now's the time. If you heard him, he says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If the things in your life he's been asking you to leave out and to quit doing, now's the time to say, okay, God, let's get this done. Because that's where freedom comes, in obedience to Jesus. The devil comes and says, no, you don't want to obey Jesus. People say, I don't want to become a Christian because I'll lose out on all the fun. Listen, that's a lie. Obedience to Jesus is the greatest liberty there is, the greatest joy there is, the greatest meaning in life there is. To listen to him and to his spirit. So Jesus said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. He came to proclaim it. He's proclaiming it today. And my prayer is that today you'll ask Jesus to help you receive the gospel of the freedom. If you're under captivity, God set you free. If you're under oppression, today ask Jesus to deliver you. If you find yourself that you don't see the things you ought to see, ask God to open your eyes so that you can see, and do it now. Don't wait. I don't know any person who ever became a believer in Jesus down the road when they're 50, 60, or whatever years old, who did not say, I wish I had committed my life to Jesus earlier. I've never heard anybody regret giving their heart and following Jesus at 8, 10, 11, whatever, wherever you are, because you can't start any earlier than where you are. So start now with whatever you sense God's wanting you to do, because this is acceptable time. We've got a lot to do. We've got a world that don't know Jesus, and a lot of Americans that don't know Jesus. A lot of people in Pioneer and Amador County don't know Jesus. Help us to begin now. We're going to...